This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. Last week, me and my friend Dave DiPaolo discussed the 1971 AFC divisional playoff game between the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs. This week, we will be discussing the 1972 NFC divisional playoff game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys.
Impression on somebody, because I remember watching the game myself and saying to myself, geez, when there was a game later on, years later in the 80s, that was going long like that. I think it was the Chargers.
Chargers and Dolphins, yeah.
When I watched that game, it brought me back to that Chief game.
Right.
When I was watching that game.
Yep. Okay, now you're going to take over and you're going to do the 1972 NFC divisional playoff.
It was the divisional playoff game, the 49ers and the Cowboys. And this game, I think it's one of the most, I picked it because I think it's one of the most underrated playoff games of all time. It never gets talked about. And the incredible part is it was the same day as the Immaculate Reception. Maybe that's why.
That's right.
But this game pretty much was just, you would say, look, the Immaculate Reception, it was tremendous. There's still talk about whether he caught the ball or didn't catch the ball, Franco Harris,
yeah.
Steelers and the Raiders. But it was one crazy play at the end of the game. This game here that I'm going to talk about was a multitude of plays. It was many, but the Cowboys were getting killed.
Yes,
They were not playing well at all. And even as they started coming back, let me preface everything right now by saying this. Even when Staubach came in, because he did not start the game, Craig Morton played the entire year. Staubach got hurt earlier in the year in a preseason game. He had a separated shoulder. Played very sparingly as the season went on, but they put him in this game. I think it was the third series of the third quarter. And even when he had a very good play, it was erased by some other kind of stupid, crazy play or something. And it wasn't like they had a lot of good things going. Like they started and then it stopped and started. And there was never a really flow
right
to the whole thing. But the multitude of things that happened at the end of this game, it just... And because there's, once again, as you said, Mark, the footage, where's the footage?
Yeah.
There was no footage.
Yeah.
And
if it wasn't for NFL films, we'd have nothing.
Listen.
Thank God for
I stumbled. Yes, exactly. I stumbled on something yesterday that I never saw. While I was watching before the Cowboy game went on yesterday, I was watching, and I said, look at this thing. And it was a guy that put together this game that I'm going to talk about here. He put it together, and it said every play. That's what it says on the. He like tries to grab your attention.
Right.
It says, but what he meant was every play that's available.
Yeah.
He has it.
Yeah.
And he put it to the radio broadcast. He synced it.
Right.
Which I listened to the entire radio broadcast, and I made these notes. That's how I made these notes in this game. It was the Armed Forces Radio. And one of the guys was Monty Stickles doing the game. He used to play for the 49ers.
Tight end, right?
Yes, and he teamed up with the other gentleman. His name escapes me. He did the play-by-play.
Right.
And I listened to the whole thing. It was almost 3 hours long, so I broke it into three separate nights. And I listened to it an hour each night so I could really kind of take it all in. And To set the stage, the Cowboys had beaten the 49ers the previous 2 years in the playoffs, actually in the championship games.
That's right.
One game in Kezar Stadium and one game in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. So this game was played. It was the first year that the Candlestick Park opened. And, you know, one of the announcers, the guy that was doing the play, was so excited. He said, these fans are really, you know, revved up. Because they wanted to beat and the 49ers did not have a great record that year.
But they beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, 31-10.
Yes. Yes.
Destroyed them.
Yes, exactly.
31-10. Beat them easily on Thanksgiving.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
But the record was only 8-6-1. and the 49ers, and the Cowboys were 11-4. But the 49ers were playing very well at this time.
Right.
At this time of the year. They were playing better than the Cowboys, kind of. And you always knew my thoughts on Craig Morton. He was kind of, I just was never a big fan of Craig Morton. But anyway, he plays the game. The 49ers get the opening kickoff. Vic Washington runs it back 97 yards. Vic Washington, he was very fast. There was an old rumor going around back then that he was going to race Bob Hayes at a halftime event. That was talking about Vic Washington was going to race Bob Hayes. How crazy was this?
Yeah.
But they used to talk about that. I remember it as a kid.
Yep.
Never came off, but that gave him the 7-0 lead. And then the Cowboys didn't do much with the first possession, Mark. And the 49ers didn't do much either. The Cowboys kicked the field goal, I'm sorry, on their first possession. They drove down. It was 7-3.
Right.
And on the 49ers' second possession, they didn't do much. They punted, and they traded punts. The Cowboys punted, but the Cowboys got off a 60-yard punt, so they gained some field position on that that punt in the second possession. And then Brody hits Gene Washington on a long 50-yard pass play on the third possession, and then they ran a double reverse on the next play or two after that, and Charlie Waters picked off Brody in the end zone for an interception. Charlie Waters, I think this was his third year, correct?
Yep.
Charlie?
Third year.
Yeah, he picks off Brody, and the game is still 7-3. And in the Cowboys' third possession, Morton fumbles with 53 seconds left in the quarter, and Tommy Hart recovers. The 49ers had a pretty good defense. They had a good defensive line. They had Cedric Hardman at the defensive end.
Pass rush.
And they had Earl Edwards and Charlie Kruger with one single bar on the face mask, by the way. Those were the two down of two inner tackles, and Tommy Hart was the other defensive end.
They had a very good pass rush, right?
Yes, they had five sacks, by the way, that game.
Yeah,
Cowboys didn't have a single sack, and the guy brings this up. The announcer brings it up, and I forgot about this. I didn't know this, or I forgot. I did remember. Then once he brought it up, Bob Lilly ended up going to the hospital in this game. He had back spasms.
That's right,
and he had a bum knee, and they took him away. So he started the game, but he did not finish. The great defensive tackle, Bob Lilly, for the Cowboys.
Yeah, he was
getting, did not finish the game.
He was getting towards the end of his career, and the injuries were starting to mount up.
Yes, yes, exactly. He only missed one game in that 14-year career, so he was very durable. But in the second quarter, they had a running back, the 49ers, Larry Schreiber. The guy scored three times. I forgot that as well. I didn't realize the guy had three touchdowns in this game. They were all short runs. They weren't looks like the guy was going on a 40-yard scamper, but he did score three touchdowns. He ends up scoring, and now it's 14-3. And then Skip Vanderbunt in the next series when the Cowboys get the ball, he picks off Craig Morton. I think he had two interceptions, Skip Vanderbunt, actually.
He was a linebacker.
And
linebacker?
Yes, it's very good. Yes, he had a big game. It was Skip Vanderbunt, Ed Beard at middle linebacker, and Dave Wilcox at the other outside linebacker position for the 49ers.
What about Frank Nunley?
He came in, yes. He would come into the game. I think Nunley was getting up. He was a little older than these guys. Okay. But he was still – he had a nickname. What the heck was it, Mark? Do you remember?
I called him
Fudge.
Yeah, he was Fudge Hammer. Fudge Hammer or something like that because he was chubby.
Yeah, Frank Nunley. Yeah. Steve Summers used to talk about him.
Yeah.
Because Summers was living out there at the time. He was actually a 49er fan. But he never really said that much on the radio, but he followed the 49ers when he was younger.
Right.
They had a good defense, and their head coach. Eventually, he was with the Cowboys, Dick Nolan.
Yeah.
But he went back to the Cowboys, but he was under the Tom Landry tree, his coaching tree.
Yeah,
and he kind of set up that defense in the same vein as the Cowboy defense, kind of, you know?
Right.
They had another Hall of Famer in the secondary, Jimmy Johnson, a cornerback. He was great. And they also had a rookie playing who ended up, they ended up picking on him towards the end of the game, Wyndlin Hall. He was in there, Johnny Fuller and Bruce Taylor. Those were the four secondary men.
Yep.
For the 49ers.
Yep.
And they were good.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Bruce Taylor.
They were very good. So, Schreiber, after the Vanderbilt interception, Gene Washington makes a catch down at the 2-yard line, and then Schreiber runs it in. Now it's 21-3.
Yeah.
49ers are up midway through the second quarter.
Yep. To get
unbelievable, Mark, right?
21-3.
It's do you remember watching this game at all?
I remember watching it. It was 2 days before Christmas, right?
Yes, exactly.
Two days before Christmas.
Yep.
Actually,
and
it was kind of a strange because, you know, normally I would watch the games with my brother and my father, but my mother became a huge, you know, because we were such huge. She started getting into it. She loved Roger Staubach and Tom Landry. My mother really started getting into it. And I remember watching the game with her. My brother was working on that day. He had a job at like one of those mom and pop stores.
Yeah.
And he was working that day. He didn't actually get to see that game. And I'm not sure where my father. My father must have been with visiting a friend or something. Because I really remember watching that game with my mother.
Imagine that.
Yeah. She was really getting into it. And when it was 21-3, I was ready to give up. My mother said, "Nah, Roger's going to bring him back. Don't worry."
Yeah, oh, listen.
Landry.
We like it. We didn't really even know if he was going to get into the game.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother said, "Landry's going to put Staubach in. You watch."
Imagine that. Listen. He loved Craig Morton, Landry.
Yeah.
He was Landry. Landry to a fault was he kept that guy in there. He, you know, he loved him. He came in, but he got hurt, Morton. He was never the same after that shoulder injury.
And he didn't have good knees either.
No. He had
good knees. And
guy couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah, he wasn't mobile. And the shoulder injury really messed him up.
Yeah. So the Cowboys made a little go of it after that. They kicked a field goal, 45-yard field goal, by the way. That was pretty good by Tony Fritsch.
Yeah.
He was another soccer-style guy.
Australia.
They picked up – yes. They picked him up on the kicking caravan with Ben Agajanian. They would go around the world and look for kickers. This was – nobody even – that was unheard of back then.
Yeah, nobody was doing
that. And Bob Lilly used to tell a story – the guy was a Fritsch, the kicker. He was a mechanic for Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
And they found him over there. He was a soccer-style kicker in Austria. And they had a very important game in 1971 against the Cardinals. And it was lined up for a field goal, Fritsch was. And Larry Stallings for the Cardinals was screaming at him saying, "You know, Fritsch, you can't kick. You're not from here. You're not going to make this." And Lily and the other guy, they said, "Save your breath, buddy. He doesn't understand a stitch of English," he said. Because they all laughed about it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was – it was, you know, they were – I mean, the guy you just mentioned before, your premium for the Dolphins, he was a soccer style.
Yep.
You know, but there wasn't a lot of them back then.
No.
Not a lot of them. I think was – Pete Gogolak, the first one, or no?
And he had a brother, too, Charlie Gogolak. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, they were the first ones. They were the first.
It was, it was a different. See, to see it not back then, it was rare. You know, it was a guy kicked the ball side, he came, it didn't go straight ahead.
And he was
approaching the ball from a completely different angle, you know?
And they were from Hungary, right? The Gogolaks.
Yeah, I think they were, yep.
Fritsch was from Austria. Jan Stenerud was from all these guys were foreigners.
By the end of the 70s, there was quite a few.
Yeah.
But this game was 72. It was, like I said, it was rare. It was not very common. No. But San Francisco, after that Cowboy kicked that second field goal, was 21-6. They had a lousy punt. It only went 20 yards. Oh, and so the Cowboys set up at their own 47. They had great field position. Yeah. You know, they were almost at midfield. But Calvin Hill fumbled. And Lance Allworth recovered, fortunately. And then a little right before the half, I believe it was, Lance Allworth scored it. They caught a pass over the middle, and he scored a touchdown. It was 21-13. I don't know how old he was, Lance Allworth. Yes, I was going to say he was getting up there in age. He was a little shaken up after that play. There's actually footage of that play. There's not a lot of footage of this game. Once again, I can't explain to people enough. There's big pieces here and there, but it's, and a lot of it's from different camera angles.
Yeah.
It's not even from the same camera angle.
Right.
Some of it's from like a sideline camera where you're taking pictures from the side, like almost like you're down on the field.
Right.
Anyways, they come out into the second half, and Calvin Hill kind of fumbles for the second time. And it's down near their goal line. Of course, San Francisco gets the ball on this. I think it's down near the 6 yard line or something. And Schreiber scores again. Now it's 28-13. Yep. And it stays like that for a long period of time, that score. Yes. Through the entire third quarter, I believe. Yep. 28-13. And the Cowboys were just not playing well. It's not like you could say, well, you know, they just had a couple of – they just didn't really – they were not playing well at all. No. And I think it was Bob Lilly who said, you know, they were coming by our bench, you know, cursing us and making fun. You know, because, you know, like I said, they'd beat them 2 years prior, the Cowboys. And so this was a great revenge game for the 49ers. Yeah. And everything seemed to be kind of going their way pretty much, right?
Yeah, it didn't look good for Dallas, that's for sure.
No. I mean, I think the Cowboys had 4 turnovers in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. And I think the first series, I think there was a series in the third quarter. I'm not sure if it was the first series or not, but Bob Hayes dropped a 55-yard pass right in the breadbasket and hit him. And it was down near the goal line, went right through his hands. He had it like up against, almost like it's catching it against his chest, and it went right through, you know. And Morton at that time, I think, was 8-for-22 for 96 yards. Terrible, as usual. And they pulled him eventually in the third quarter. Your mother was right, okay? Your mother knew more than we did. And they put Staub back into the game. And the guy didn't have much playing time that year, right? Yeah. You remember, Mark, right?
For almost the whole season. Separated shoulder, I think it was. He had to have surgery. Now, was that?
Yes, he did.
Was that injury? That injury, I think, was in preseason, right?
It was against the Rams. Staubach's wife used to talk about that. She said when he had the surgery, Tom Lange was there. In the hospital, she says, not a lot of people know about that. They thought he was just like this guy that this and this. And she said, but he showed up that day and he was there the whole day until Roger got out of surgery. She said, you know, she talked about that. I was just reading a book about it too. But so it's not like the Staubach that we came to know. You know, this was kind of like his second year, but he didn't play much. So,
When you look at his career, he really had a short career. I mean, he's got the 4 years of naval commitment. Then 69, he hardly plays as a rookie. Yes. 1970, he hardly plays. 71, he doesn't become the starter until halfway through the season. And 72, he's injured for almost the whole season. Well, that's what... his first 4 seasons, he really didn't play a heck of a lot.
No, because at that time he's 30 years old. because he sat out the other 4 years with the Navy. So when he got out of the Navy, whatever he was, tack on another 7-8 years to that age. Yeah. You know, people don't get that. You know, but there was a fifth turnover in the third quarter, and 49ers had the ball at the Cowboy 31. That was at the time I was listening to the game on the radio. Like I said, that's about the time the guy made the announcement of Bob Lilly taking it over to the hospital. He just casually brings it up, and you listen to the broadcast of that game, and it's great because they start talking about the Hail Mary game. The guy starts talking about it during this game. He says earlier today, Monty. He says, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers won 14-6 or something like that, or 14-7, whatever it was. They threw a pass on the last play.
13-7 was the fine.
That's what it was, 13-7, right. He says they threw a pass on the last play of the game. He says, and it ricocheted off of, you know, it's funny how it's been overanalyzed a gazillion times now, no big thing. But that was the day it happened, you know. It takes on a whole different effect. It has a whole different meaning, Mark, you know what I mean? And if you listen to it now, you go, like, this was new. This was news. You know, it was brand new.
And like you say, this game between the Cowboys and 49ers kind of gets overshadowed because of what happened earlier in the day.
Yes, Frank exactly. Harris
play.
Yes. Here's a big thing that we forget about. And this game doesn't get talked about enough. Yeah. First of all, I said that already. But what we really forget about is the kicker for the 49ers, Gossett, he misses two field goals, okay? Or it wouldn't have been 28. That would have been up to 34, I believe. He misses two.
I think you were just talking about the drive where they got into field goal range, and he missed the chip shot. It would have made it 31-13. They would have needed three touchdowns. There was no two-point conversion back then. They would have needed three. No. They might have lost the game right there. That missed field goal was crucial.
Yes, and in the fourth quarter, he misses another. 13-30 left to play in the game. He misses a 32-yarder.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Would have made it 31-13.
Yes, I think he missed one a little before that, people weren't thinking about it. There was a lot of time left. But that one there was crucial, the one you just brought up.
I don't think they would have been able to come back. They would have needed three touchdowns.
The Cowboys had a possession in the fourth quarter where they started at their own 20. And on 3rd and 19, they converted that.
That's huge. Yep.
People forget about that. 3rd and 19, I think he hits Billy Parks. I can't quite remember, but he converts that 3rd and 19, which was, you know, it was kind of big. Yeah. They traded punts at 11-18. The Cowboys punted the ball. Marv Bateman, terrible, hit a 29-yard punt. And the 49ers had great field position, okay? But they couldn't move the ball. And the Cowboys got the ball back, and they kicked the field goal, which made it 28-16. Right. 28-16 now. Okay.
And if Gossett had made it, it would have been 31-16.
Exactly. They would have had to, I don't know if they would have tried. They might have foregoed the field goal and went for it on fourth down. You don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. You know what I mean? When they got the ball back, okay, with 9:01 remaining, the Cowboys got the ball back.
Yeah.
And Calvin Hill ripped off a 47-yard run, the longest run of the game, I believe it was, by either team. And that's what set up that 27-yard field goal for Fritsch, which made it 28-16. The 49ers got the ball back, five plays and out. And with 5:47, the Cowboys had a little drive going. There was 2 minutes left to go in the game, but it was still 28-16. 28-16 with 2 minutes left. You know, people, that's amazing, really, if you think about it. You know? It doesn't look too promising. Well, no, not good, Mark, at all. Not good. And he hit Garrison with a couple of sideline passes. I don't know if you remember that, you know? And they crossed midfield, and then they had the two-minute warning right about then. And then what happens is he hits Parks at the 20-yard line, Staubach. It's like about a 20-something-yard pass. He hits Billy Parks, okay, with 1:35 left, and then he hits Parks again on the next play for the touchdown. Yeah. For the touchdown. So with a minute 28 left, there was 2 minutes. They scored. There was a minute 28 left, and they tried the onside kick. They tried the onside kick. Go ahead, Mark. You remember.
He did some kind of trick where he used his other leg. He tricked them, right? He put his one leg behind his other leg. I think it was Charlie Waters who talked about that.
Yeah, you're right. So Fritsch, once again, the guy we talked about, the mechanic for Mercedes, he approaches the ball, and he puts his kicking foot forward, and he kicks the ball behind his with the other leg behind on the other side. So he kicks it. Instead of it going forward, he kicks it from the other side. It goes to the opposite side of the field. It goes to the right side with his left leg. He kicks it. And Mel Renfro jumps on the – it goes right through the 49ers. They had it, but right through his hands, the guy.
Threw them off just enough. Charlie Waters gives a very good explanation of it. And it threw them off just enough that
– you could mark – they have that kick in some crazy guys in slow motion. They have it in slow motion on YouTube. It's about 4-minute video. They keep playing it over and over. It goes right through the guy's hand. Mel Renfro jumps on it. First play, the Cowboys get the ball. Staubach runs for 20 yards. So they get it at the 50 approximately, somewhere around midfield. Yeah. He runs down to about the 30, Staubach. Okay? And then he hits Parks again. At the 10-yard line, okay? And on the last play there, with 52 seconds left, he hits Sellers in the end zone right over the middle. Those passes, too, there was very good coverage. And let me just, these guys weren't running wide open. The coverage was very – those were great balls by Staubach. Phenomenal.
Yeah. You know? Parks and Ron Sellers, they picked up in trades, right? And neither one of them played that long for Dallas.
No, I think Billy Parks came from the Dwayne Thomas trade to the Chargers, I think.
Yeah.
But didn't Ron Sellers come from the Patriots or no?
They have, because that was.
I can't remember, but these guys were not there that long, correct?
They weren't there that long.
Parks was big in that game. He caught the touchdown. And when Bob Lilly describes it on NFL Films, there's a clip where Bob Lilly describes that play. And he says, and Staubach hit Lee Folkins in the end zone. He makes a mistake. He thought it was Lee Folkins, Mark, who was gone by that time. I don't even think he was on the roster.
He was retired by then.
Yes. But I noticed they play it again on the recent plays, on the recent tapes, and they put that part out. They take that part out where he takes it, says it's Folkins, but there is a clip, you can find it, where he talks about he hits Lee Folkins for the touchdown. As you said in the game you discussed, Mark, the Chief game, so there was 52 seconds left, by the way. Nobody talks about this. The 49ers got the ball back.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's no footage. So you say, what did they do with the 52 seconds? So you can hear it in the radio broadcast. They ran four plays. Two of them were little passes to Schreiber. And then they made a 30-something yard gain. They got a play down to the Cowboy 39-yard line. But it was called back on a holding penalty. Wow. Imagine that. I forgot all about that.
You like you said,
if not for that radio broadcast, Mark, we wouldn't even remember that.
No, these things you don't hear.
Fourth. No, exactly. Fourth play, he throws a pick to Charlie Waters. Charlie Waters gets his second interception of the game. Yeah, and that was it. That clinched it. 30-28. One of the most tremendous comebacks of all time. And it doesn't, everybody talks about the Hail Mary, which was great and everything, but this game gets completely overlooked.
You're right.
The 1972 divisional a playoff game again, partially maybe because the following week the Cowboys got hammered by the Redskins. So that could partially be maybe why, Mark, or you think, you know?
Part of that could be. And then also, like we said, the game before it kind of overshadowed it. And it just gets kind of lost in history. But
I just looked up Billy Parks. 7 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown.
I believe they got those. They got Parks and they got Sellers because Allworth was up in age. Bob Hayes was getting up in age.
That's right.
He was still in college.
So. No, Mike Ditka, their tight end, was up in age. Was this Ditka's last season?
That was Ditka's last season, yeah. And it was Allworth's last season. Allworth and I think Hayes played one more season after that.
Yeah, they actually, the ironic thing is they actually ended up either, I don't know if they traded him, but they got rid of Bob Hayes and he went to the 49ers.
That was his final season. He didn't do much there. He was pretty much washed up by then.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. All right, that was a great game, and there's footage of Larry Cole rolling around on the ground on the, right?
Larry Cole was rolling around. You know, he was so happy. He was.
Somebody even grabs Landry. It wasn't a player. It was somebody else comes. They actually grab him. Yeah. They hug him, like on the sideline. You know what I mean? And Landry had a big smile on his face.
Yeah, one of the few times you see him smiling. What a game.
Yeah, I think Frank Glieber might have done the radio. I'm not sure if he did the radio broadcast of that game for the Cowboys. I'm not really sure if he did the Hail Mary game, didn't he? For wouldn't sure. Would you believe it? He says that's Frank Glieber, I think, right?
Yeah. What a game. And I remember I can't really remember. My father must have been with a friend or something because my brother was working. So it was me and my mother, and we were so ecstatic. We were jumping around the living room. We almost knocked over the Christmas tree.
Listen, that's great stuff. My mother would have never, she almost threw me out of the house one time. No, I'm not even kidding. In the 79, the double comeback game, the 79 game against the Redskins. See, I'm not kidding. She said, "What the hell's going on up here?" I was in my sister's room. My sister was gone that day. I watched that game on a 13-inch black and white television set, that the double comeback game. But listen, Craig Morton, Mark, 29.2 quarterback rating for this game.
Wow.
Staubach was 12 for 20, 174 yards and 2 touchdowns. Believe it or not, he was sacked 4 times. He had a 121.7 on the quarterback rating, Staubach. Unbelievable.
That's when they started calling him Captain Comeback, right?
Yes, exactly. That was one of the first. I wouldn't say that. He might have had. I'm not sure what he had that 71 season for comebacks, but he was. He was, when he took over, they won 8 straight. But this was, I think, one of the first of the miraculous ones, yes.
Yep. They won 71, including the playoffs and the Super Bowl. They won 10 games in a row. They were 4-3. 4-3 when Staubach took over. Then they won 10 games in a row.
They were 4-3, and they were shuttling – quarterbacks on each play. Can you imagine that? And the players did not like it. Bob Lilly talked about it. He said the players did not like the fact that they were pick a quarterback, which one we don't care, just pick one. That's what he said, Lilly. And he said we had Leroy Jordan go talk to Coach Landry about it. And, you know, Staubach talked about it. He said, you know, Landry was kind of as smart as he was. He was a kind of a quirky guy. And he thought that this would be, you know, he had as great as he was, Landry, you think about it, as smart as he was, guy was an engineer. He thought that the players were just like cogs in a machine. Like you could just insert them and take guys out. And like, he didn't account for any kind of like, you know, when they have a certain, there's a certain word. I'm losing my train of thought with it, but it's the intangibles. That's what I was looking for. Like those were, they didn't come into play in Landry's mind. That's like kind of like a flaw, kind of in a way. But like
how you say, had that engineer's mind from
right. Exactly. How could you not think? He thought, geez, I have the perfect plan. I put these players in, and they screw up the game plan. You know, that's how he thought, Landry, in a way. And he thought if he could shuttle these, instead of using guards or tight ends, he used to use the tight end, Landry. But he was shuttling in quarterbacks. It's insane.
He didn't like he wasn't big on rookies. Like, you know, he didn't like the inexperienced. He liked the experienced players, much like George Allen, right? He liked those experienced players, the veterans. And like you say, he really he liked Greg Morton and stuck with him. No matter how many bad games he had, he stuck with him and finally made the switch. And then following year, Staubach gets hurt after. But
yeah, he had this thing where he thought that the quarterback had to, like a rookie had to do his time on the bench and watch. You know, it's the exact opposite today. They throw these guys right in the games now. But he thought that you had to be at least – he thought it was three years. This was all that – that's what he thought. 3 years on the bench should do it. You know? And like Staubach said, I didn't have 3 years to burn.
He was a 27-year-old rookie. He came into the league. He was 27 years old because of his ankle.
You know, looking at the 49ers stats, Mark, John Brody did not have a good game. He was 12 for 22, 150 yards. He had a 38.1 rating.
Yeah, that's not good.
38.1, right?
Well, he was up in age, right? He was up in age.
Yeah, I mean, he played in the 50s.
I think he started in 57, 56 maybe even. He was old. He was up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean – they had about Schreiber had 26 carries for 52 yards and those three touchdowns that I talked about. His longest run was six yards. He was three yards in a cloud of dust. I don't think, you know, I'm not seeing his name anywhere. I don't think Ken Willard was on the team yet, was he?
He was on the team. Maybe he was injured. Could
have been. He didn't play a single play. He didn't play a single play, Mark.
He injured. He was on the team.
Yeah. Vic Washington had 10 carries for 56 yards, and he had a long run of 22. Okay, so they 108 yards rushing. They had the Cowboy defense was still pretty decent at that time. It wasn't as good as it was the year before. And that was a 4 o'clock start. And you were right, Mark, December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas, 1972. Yeah. And that game was played on that was not real grass, I don't think, in Candlestick Park back then. It was a great game, much not talked about a lot, unfortunately. Gets lost in the thing of great comeback games. It's never really mentioned too much, but it's one of the greatest of all time, as far as I'm concerned. They were down 28-16 in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes. They scored the field goal. Still down two scores under 2 minutes, and they pulled it off.
Unbelievable.
That's it. I want to. By the way, before we sign out, I want to give a shout out to Arnie. Congratulations to the Lions, Arnie. The Lions, a big win last night, buddy.
Been waiting a long time for his Lions to do something.
Yeah, a big win for that. But I thought they were going to win. It was a little closer than I thought. Actually, I think it was a 1-point game. Somebody said, but I was watching the bits and pieces after the Cowboy game. I was so disgusted, but. They pulled it out. I thought that they would win, the Lions. I did. I thought they would actually win by probably 6 or 7, but the Rams played them pretty tough, I guess. So now it's they're going to end up playing the winner of that game today. The Eagles play the Buccaneers, and I could see the Lions beating either of those teams. Yeah. The Eagles are not what they were earlier in the year. I could see the Lions actually advancing and probably most likely playing – the 49ers out in the new Levi Stadium out there. Although I wouldn't give the Packers a big, after watching the game yesterday, I don't know, maybe the 49ers match up against them. They were very impressive to me, the Packers. But it's good for Arnie, good for the city of Detroit, really.
Yes.
You know, that was their first playoff win since 1991.
They beat the Cowboys, right? 1991.
Yes, they did. They beat Jimmy Johnson. And they beat the Cowboys. I think they had Eric Hippel? I can't remember whose court. I think it was they actually beat the Cowboys handily that day. Yeah. Killed them.
Yep. So
good. But that was it, Mark. We covered a couple of great games. Okay. Those were two of the greatest playoff games of that era, probably maybe even of all time, but definitely that era, no doubt about it.
That same, like you said, two great games on the same day. The Steelers.
Unbelievable.
Franco Harris, and then the Cowboys game right after. Unbelievable.
My buddy was a huge – he's still – well, not so much anymore, but he's a huge Raider fan. And we went out for Al Davis's induction into the Hall of Fame. I probably talked about this once before, but the Raider players were so impressed with my buddy Ray that they had him come in to this private party for Al Davis. And there we are, two guys, just me and him. And there we were. We're in this room with all these, you know, there was, oh, look, Madden was there. All these guys were there. They had this huge ice sculpture of the Raiders shield. It was beautiful. And they, you know, some of these backup offensive linemen, there was a George Beeler. He played, and there was a couple other guys there. And they said to my buddy, geez, you got to be a big fan if you know who we are. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why they had him. That's why they had him come in there, believe it or not. But everybody was there. Kenny King and Daryl LaMonica was there. Blanda, he was kind of grumpy. George Blanda, a little, I'll be honest. But that was a great. We had a lot of fun with that. That was before things got out of hand, and not like what we just experienced in our trip to the Hall of Fame this past year. But you know, it's a different, whole different ball game. I hate to say it, they kind of took the fun out of it, Mark, you know? Yeah, but that was the Raiders. And I think Jack Tatum, you know, I don't know if that ball – I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if that ball ever really hit Frenchie Fuqua. Mm-hmm. It comes away with so much force that it – because Tatum's moving in on him for the hit, that it's got to be Tatum that it hits.
It's so hard to tell. No matter how many times you watch it, it's hard to tell. But
I wonder if there's any footage. I mean, you never know. Probably not. It would have surfaced by now. But from the footage that I've watched, I actually think he did catch the ball, that it didn't hit the ground.
I don't think it hit the ground, no. I don't think it hit the ground.
No. It's hard to see. There's one. They did a special NFL Films where they take that play and they dissect it. And you could see just the way he catches it in stride, kind of. You know, if it hits the ground, it would have been kind of a different dynamic. But it just, you know, it's one of the craziest things. And like you said, both in one day, Mark, it was great. That was great. Football was great back then. It really was. I know we were younger and we looked at things differently. And, you know, we were at a completely different time of our life. But It was just football. You talk to anybody. They loved football in the 60s and 70s. They claim it was the greatest era of all time, some of them. A lot of people say that, not just you and I.
I'm so glad we got to be a part of it because the game today is – I feel sorry for the kids today. It's just, you know.
Yeah, they don't really understand. You know, they watch the game, and like the game yesterday, they watch and they get mad, and they think it's instantaneous that you can get on it 20 minutes after game and blame this guy, when it really doesn't work that way.
Look how many things, like we were discussing, how many things happen in a game that you don't even know. You know, like that fake field goal that got all screwed up. I never heard that before.
No.
Things.
No. Nope. Bobby Bell talks about it in an interview. I don't know if you ever saw. I'll send it to you if you ever. But you know, when I look at the game yesterday, and I said, when you're down 27 to 7, and you're passing on every down, well, that's why he got picked off, Prescott. That's why the guy ran it in for a pick six. See, that's the one thing about Landry. You could say whatever you want, but you know what? He never gave up on the running game. He would always filter it in there. You know, they would be down by three touchdowns. They'd say, what's he running the ball for? But you know what? You still have to keep defenses honest. And that's what happened yesterday. And they say, well, Prescott, he threw – you know something? Doesn't matter. They were honing in. They were passing the ball on every down. And that's what happens.
The defense knows you're going to pass. They're ready for it.
It's not just, okay, he threw a bad pass. He should have saw that. There's more to it than that. These people don't get it. And
yeah. Well,
you know. So, but that was it, Mark. That's we covered two great games. Those were great games. I'm sorry, they were some of the best.
All right, glad we got to talk about it. It was.
Yeah, good seeing you, Mark. Good coming on with you today. Appreciate
Always
that.
A pleasure.
Yeah, you take care, Mark. God bless you. Thank you.
Enjoy. Okay.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.